Jos Hermes. Jos Hermes, die lange, weet je wel. Heb je die wel gezien met masturberen achter grote motoren? Die is nog steeds niet binnen.
Ja, dat zal nou wel, maar dat is dus wel sportverdwazing, narigheid en commercie. En heeft niks te maken met wat ik wil, hè. Wij moeten lid worden van een klein voetbalclubje en op zaterdagmiddag weer eens tegen een balletje trappen.
Oh, nee,
en gewoon weer eens bewegen en gewoon weer eens voetballen.
Nee, ja, nou. Daar hou ik al zo niet van, weet je dat? Weet je wat ik van voetbal vind? Ik vind het zo ordinair.
Ik verlang wel eens terug naar de tijd dat je als patiënt niet het gevoel had dat je nummer was. Maar dat je echt bij zo'n oude, vertrouwde huisarts, zo'n beetje oude man, kwam je op spreekuur. Die gaf je niet alleen maar een pilletje of zo, maar die gaf je ook een bemoedigend klopje op de schouder. Of een aanmoedigend knipje in de neus. Of die steelde door je haar. Hè? Of die maakte je bril schoon. Ja. En dan kwam je thuis en dan zei je vrouw, is je bril weer schoon? Ja, ik ben bij de dokter geweest. Dat was heel geloof. Maar in deze tijd, dames en heren, waar dominees zo schaars en waar psychiaters zo duur worden, verlang ik wel eens terug naar die oude huisarts. En dan zou ik naar die oude huisarts toe gaan en ik zou zeggen: ach dokter, ik wil een pil voor eenzaamheid. Ik heb daarvan wat last de laatste tijd. Een vreemd gevoel dat 's avonds me besluipt. Dat door de poriën zo naar binnen kruipt. De klachten van de kwaal zijn nogal vaag. Ik kan niet zeggen het is mijn hart of het is mijn maag. Het is een soort van geestelijke pijn. Toe geef me een pil, ik wil niet eenzaam. Man, als jij zo ziek bent, niet de apotheek. Mag in het weekend naar de discotheek. Daar krijg je medicijnen, alle soort van pijnen verdwijnen aan het einde van de week. Heus voor dit soort kwalen, niet de apotheek. Ga je pep weer halen in de discotheek. Kracht die gaat weer komen, bloed begint te stromen. Hier helpt niet de arts, hier helpt het leek. Twee grote speakers, 400 watt. Het kan nog harder, hoe vind je dat? Volume zat! En heus onder het stampen, vergeet de mens de rampen waar hij mee te kampen heeft gehad. En dat was dat. Maar als ik dan naar huis loop door de nacht, ach dokter, dan komt weer diezelfde klacht. Een onbestemd gevoel dat ik iets mis. Dat alles toch au fond zo zinloos is. Ik voel mij in het gigantische geheel. Zo'n onuitsprekelijk machteloos klein deel. Heus zelfbeklag ligt niet in mijn lijn. Toegeef mijn pil, ik wil niet eenzaam zijn. Heus zelfbeklag ligt niet in mijn lijn. Toegeef me een pil, ik wil niet eenzaam zijn.
Verleden week is er een vriend van mij opgenomen in de Valeriuskliniek. Ik had vanmiddag pas tijd om er naartoe te gaan. Waar komt u voor? Vroeg de juffrouw aan de receptie. Voor meneer Notenboom, zei ik. U bent familie? Nee, zei ik, een vriend. Voorlopig is het alleen voor familie het bezoek, meneer. Maar hij heeft helemaal geen familie, zei ik. Nou ja, een zuster in Nigeria. Maar u bent niks van meneer Notenboom. Nou, een vriend, zeg ik toch? Oh, u woont samen. Nee, moet dat? Nou, dat zou het een stuk gemakkelijker maken, meneer. Ja, maar wat moet ik nou? Ach, meneer. Laat u toch opnemen, dat is echt het gemakkelijkst. Nou, dat heb ik toen maar gedaan.
Als je van school komt, wil je gaan studeren. Heel goed plan. Maar welke richting is het meest geschikt? Weet je daar iets van? Ben je niet zo'n bolleboos? Welk vak studeer je dan? Man, iets wat je zonder veel te praktiseren leren kan. Ben je eenmaal huisarts, heb je een praktijk? In de binnenstad of een nette buitenwijk? Dan merk je dat het vroeg of laat vervelen gaat, die regelmaat. Je wordt misschien wel rijk, maar altijd dat gezeik.
Dokter, ik heb zo'n maagpijn.
Kunt u wat minder vaag zijn?
Dokter, ik heb een sponsgezwel.
Veel frisse lucht, dan slijt het wel.
Dokter, ik heb een bloedbuis.
Prachtig, mevrouw, dat moet juist.
Dokter, ik heb de builen best.
Dan krijgt u een attest. Ach nee, zo'n huispraktijk is maar een suffe beweging. Een volle ziekenzaal,
ja, ja,
dat is het helemaal. Want als je lachen wilt, dan moet je in de verpleging. Dan zie je elke kwaal integraal. Elke kwaal, elke kwaal, elke kwaal. Van de diarree tot de barensweer. Elke kwaal, elke kwaal,
elke kwaal.
Maak je zomaar mee in het hospitaal.
Een lelijk gekneusde arm.
Een spastische dikke darm. Onschuldig of fataal, maar nooit een reden voor alarm. Als je je gevoel voor humor maar bewaart. Bij een slijmberoerte op een etterhaard. Met een kwinkslag en een opgewekt gezicht. Bij een kwinkvergiftiging of knokkeljicht.
Van de week was er op zaal 9 nog een leuk incident. Want ik zag iets vermoed bewegen in het bed van een patiënt. Nou, ik dacht eerst nog aan een orgasme, dus ik gaf hem al een schop. Maar wat bleek, hij had gewoon een spasme. Nou, dat was me een mop.
En hoepen de poepen, mooie kroep, daar kun je nog wat van leren. En hiepen de piepen, neuspoliep, is altijd een buitenkans. Vandaag weer een maagzeer. En een viesbeuk met een liesbreuk. En hierheen met niersteen. En daarbij Sint-Vitus-dans.
Twee doktoren en een zuster met een spuit. En u gaat nu even slapen, want die milt die moet eruit. Oogjes dicht, dat is verplicht.
Een lijk met open ogen, dat is geen gezicht. Haché, haché, dat wordt een anuspray.
En van je hele hola, dat is een fris karwei. Dat is wel iets voor mij, iets waar ik graag in snij. En van je hele hola, leg hem eens op zijn zij. Dan kan ik er beter bij.
Waar is die operatieschaar gebleven? Heb jij hem niet gezien?
Nee, nee.
Weet jij het dan misschien?
Nee, nee, nee.
Stil maar, ik open de patiënt nog even. Hij klaagt weer over pijn.
Dat zal het dan wel zijn. U mag naar huis, juffrouw Versluis. De zaak berust op een abuis. Naar huis, juffrouw Versluis. Naar huis, de groeten thuis. U mag naar huis.
Is met die aangereden oma.
Oh,
die ligt al weken in een coma.
Dat wordt waarschijnlijk een winterslaap.
Oh, dat is niet zo mooi. Oh, dat is niet zo mooi.
Dat heb ik in jaren niet gezien. Zo'n zooi, zo'n zooi.
Zuster, vlug dan, zuster, kom me schouw. Opa Brugman wordt weer donkerblauw.
De dynamiek van een kliniek is zoiets eners en aparts. Bruisend en opwindend is het leven van een arts. Een mooi bestaan te danken aan een heilig ideaal. Als nuttige en handige en dure kleine zelfstandige. De arts verschijnt, de pijn verdwijnt en ook je kapitaal.
شد بعضكم يا ثابت شدوا بعضكم يا اهل فلسطين شدوا بعضكم يا اهل فلسطين شدوا بعضكم ما ودعتكم رحلة فلسطين ما ودعتكم شدوا بعضكم يا اهل فلسطين شدوا بعضكم ما ودعتكم رحلة فلسطين ما ودعتكم الله 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 عوارك صيني نكتب بالحبر عوارك صيني يا فلسطيني علي جرالك يا فلسطيني عوارك صيني لكتب بالحبر عوارك صيني يا فلسطيني علي جرالك يا فلسطيني عالعود اليابس علك جاكيت وعالعود اليابس ما حدا لابس مثلك يا العارس ما حدا لابس يا علي راياتك علي راياتك علي اسمر يا ابو الكوفية وجبين الوطن عالي وجبين الوطن عالي ومزين بالكوفية علي راياتك علي علي راياتك علي اسمر يا ابو الكوفية وجبين الوطن عالي وجبين الوطن عالي ومزين بالكوفية سجل علي بياع العطر اعطيها قنية لا تاخذ منها سجل علي هو بدي هدية فلسطينية توصل لحبابي اللي يعزونا يا جلال يا جلال يا عريس
This is a BBC podcast. You can get all our podcasts and our terms of use at bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Well, there are busy trading borders all over the world, but I've never seen anything like this. There are hundreds of women carrying bales even bigger than them.
For assignment here on the BBC World Service, I'm Linda Presley, and this is a Spanish town unlike any other. Melilla is located on the north coast of Morocco, a tiny speck of Europe on the continent of Africa.
What have you got in there? What's in there?
Now she's carrying used clothes.
How much does that weigh, Latifa?
60 kilos.
60 kilos. How long have you been doing this work?
24 years.
Latifa's one of the mule women of Melilla, Moroccan women who are used as porters or portiadoras to carry back-breaking loads of goods across the border from the Spanish enclave into Morocco. Because the merchandise is taken as personal luggage, it enters Morocco duty-free. It's an ancient trading relationship, and it highlights the complexity of one of Europe's most southerly frontiers. A border defended by a 6-metre-high fence where the wealth of the First World pushes up hard against the poverty of Morocco and the rest of Africa. Latifa says she earns €3 each time she delivers her load and that it's the only work she can get.
I have family that must eat.
And how many kids do you have, Latifa?
And they're born. 4.
Latifa, do you have a husband? What happened to your husband?
She was married, but the husband beat her. And she got divorced.
Oh, right, we're going to get in the way. The queue is beginning to move and everybody is just pushing with their huge loads. Latifa's right in the middle of it. She's got a leopard skin baseball cap on top of her hijab. And she's actually now become totally invisible because of the numbers of enormous great bales of clothing that are being pushed by all of these women to the border. All of this frenetic activity is taking place in a cloud of dust.
Many of the women here are marginalised in Morocco's traditional society. They're divorced or separated, like Latifa, single mothers providing for their families. These women have the right to visit Melilla because they live in the Moroccan province of Nador, but they aren't allowed to reside in the Spanish territory. In the crush, an elderly woman, her head bent low under the weight she's carrying, is edging her way forward.
They work very hard and I have 80 kilos on the back.
7,000 to 8,000 porters, the vast majority of them women, work this border crossing known as Barrio Chino every day. From early morning, the gates through the imposing reinforced steel fence are open only until midday. It's a limited window. So the pressure is on to get the job done and accounts for the pervading hysteria. Aziz Mohammed, one of Malia's traders, employs 50 to 60 women and is watching as his merchandise literally staggers into Morocco. I ask him if it's a good business.
For me, it's good. I pay taxes, I pay the merchandising, I pay everything. But for the people who carry these products, I don't know if it's so good as for me.
And how much do you pay them for each trip?
Two trips, I pay €20.
For me, coming from outside, it looks very bad, but you don't feel guilty employing women to do this work.
I feel guilty too, but we have no other possibility. The responsibility is from Morocco, not from us.
But you're paying the women.
I pay well for this woman, €10 a trip. Another traders pay less, it depends on the trader. I pay well.
And how much money can you make here every day, Aziz, trading like this? He's saying he doesn't know, Aziz.
Aziz is reticent to talk figures. But every day he shifts a container load of used clothes across the border, and Moroccan traders pay him around €4 a kilo for it. But this isn't just about dealing in second-hand goods. There are bolts of cloth, shoes, blankets, toiletries, used tyres, a huge variety of domestic goods, all imported into Melilla's low-tax economy and then hauled into Morocco and sold at a higher price. It's cheaper to import into Melilla than to other parts of the European Union because the Spanish territory doesn't belong to the customs union, so it doesn't have to impose the EU's tariffs on goods coming in. For traders, there are profits to be made, But for the women who do the heavy lifting,
se utilizan a estas mujeres desde nuestro punto de vista.
They're using these women in a brutal way. There are women who are risking their lives, and there have been deaths as a consequence of this physical labour. It's carried out in conditions of semi-slavery.
Emilio Guerra is from the Union of Progress and Democracy, a new political party whose one MEP has raised the issue of the Portiadoras in the European Parliament.
What we would like is that they work legally, that they work to a concrete system of rules and under conditions that aren't precarious. And if someone is profiting from this business, well, he should leave some of those profits, some of that wealth, with those workers.
And what is the alternative for this, what we see at the border? Is there an alternative economic model that you have?
I've said that Melilla has to change its economic model and join the EU's customs union. Melilla should become a real European city, so we can compete under the same conditions as any other Spanish city. At the moment, because we're outside the customs union, if we try and sell products that we make in Melilla inside the EU, they're treated as if they're coming from Japan or Hong Kong, and enormous tariffs are added.
The upshot, he thinks, is that Melilla relies instead on what it's done for decades, exporting across the border. Nothing wrong with that, says Melilla's business advisor for the local government, José María López. And, he says, this informal economy doesn't just benefit traders. Thousands of people, apart from the Portiadoras, profit from it in Morocco.
It goes up to 25,000 people in the province because shops, warehouses, and it's a quite wide business in this part of Morocco.
So it maintains a lot of families. But we've been down on the border and seen. It's quite dramatic, right?
It's dramatic, but it has a very positive aspect of it, is that those people is the only income, the only chance they have to make a living. Sure, a really hard work, but they have a chance of getting an income that in some cases is larger than the average income that any worker gets in Morocco. But this is a kind of relationship that is coming from, I would say, the last century, and actually it works for both sides.
But is, you say it's a trade that kind of started in the last century, mm-hmm. but is it a trade that belongs in the 21st century when Spain is part of the European Union? Mm-hmm. I mean, should Spain be sanctioning this kind of labour?
Well, actually, what we do is we sell goods for customers that come over to buy it. And that happens in any frontier where there is a difference of prices or taxes and that makes goods cheaper or more convenient than in the other side of the border. These people over the border just come in as like a tourist and they take their load and they cross the border. Melilla doesn't say that they have to be women of a given age.
Oh, there's a fight just broken out in front. And Latifa is still pushing her way through. This is her first trip of the day, but many of the women here will come backwards and forwards three or four times. These women get paid, but they also have to, they say, give bribes to the Moroccan authorities as they pass through the border. Well, there's a great push and a shove now, and there are a lot of young men who are kind of pushing their way through, carrying their goods.
She makes only one trip because the men take the place. It's no opportunity for a woman to work.
Hasna is struggling against competition from the thrusting young men this morning, and she needs the 5 or 6 euros she'll make from carrying one load across the border.
She has one child, she's pregnant, and she has to pay the rent. She has her husband, but he's ill. He's got lung problem. He cannot work.
And when is your baby due?
She's 6 months pregnant.
So you're still doing this heavy work and you're 6 months pregnant. Wow. And there's no other choice for you. Nothing else you could do.
At the moment, it's no another work. But if she finds another work, cleaning houses or cooking, she will leave this.
Hasna's Jalaba now is the colour of the earth around us. Everybody's covered in muck. There's dust everywhere. This is an extremely hard way to make a living.
In the summer months, it's not uncommon for women to be hospitalised from heat exhaustion, and one Porteadora has been crushed to death. Now the Guardia Civil, the Spanish police, oversee the Porteadoras, maintaining a semblance of order and trying to ensure the security of everyone. Arturo Ortega is the officer in charge when I visit.
When they are waiting for 2 hours, they will fight for the time that they lost. When they are waiting, they are getting violent.
And what do you think, Comandante, when you see these women? It's just incredible what they're carrying, right?
Igual de increíble para usted que para nosotros.
It's incredible. Like, for you, it's for me. But if you are working here every day, you think that's normal, and it is not normal.
What happened here? So this lady here is like, she's walking with a crutch. Y se cayó usted aquí. She's got a foot that's bandaged up and that she says is cut. She's showing me where it's cut. Hi, Abdel. We're joined by Abdel Kader Mohammed, who works for the CGT trade union and who's helping us with translation. It turns out Maria, who's 37, fell in the queue recently and broke her leg. She's also had breast cancer.
And what is she going to do today? Is she going to go across?
She cannot work today because she has the broken leg and she is ill from the breasts and she cannot work.
And she said that the queue is very violent today, yeah?
What are you going to do then, Maria, today?
Oh, she's quite upset.
I go home today.
Que lo pasa mejor, eh? Hope you feel better.
Gracias.
Lunch in the Plaza de las Cuatro Culturas in the shadow of the old walled city that's perched high above the harbour feels a million miles away from the stories of hardship at the Barrio Chino. Malia's been Spanish since 1497, sovereignty that's disputed by Morocco, which also claims Spain's other territory of Ceuta, further west along the coast. But with its broad avenues, bars and kiosks, Malia does look and feel like an Iberian town. The main difference, perhaps, is that for a community of just over 80,000, its people are very multicultural, although not all of them are permanent residents.
A job defense. We organize, we are about 200 people, Guineans, Sierra Leoneans, Malians, from different countries in West Africa. We call it FRAP. That means to set a program to enter Melilla.
I meet Tippy, not his real name, touting for some car washing business in the town centre. A lanky 23-year-old Sierra Leonean, he spent 7 months in Morocco, camped on a mountain, gazing down on the bright lights of Melilla and waiting for his chance. In July, he scaled the 11-kilometre-long fence that separates Melilla from Morocco. It was his fourth attempt.
We're facing a lot of attack. The Morocco police, the Morocco gendarmes. That day was in Ramadan. It was in Ramadan time. So we hide ourselves close to the wire where when they're going to break their fast. It's the time we attack, so we jump the fence. Many people get injured. Some people broke their legs. Some people broke their feet. You know, it's not easy because it's too high.
It's 6 meters high,
right? 6 meters, and there are three fences.
So how did you get up there? Did you have a ladder or something?
No, not ladder. I climbed for myself.
You climb by yourself? Yeah. I mean, you're a big guy. What are you, 6 foot one, 6 foot two?
No, so I climb for myself. Many people, they cannot, it not be easy. So that I...
Because people died in that attempt,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, people died. A lot of people died.
Did you think about that before you did it? Did you think that you could die doing this?
I believe I can die. But for me to go back to my country, I don't see it as a good idea. Because if I leave Morocco, that I'll fail my journey. I believe that forward is the only way.
Where do you want to be?
I want to stay in England.
But you know that in England, a lot of people are against immigration. Have you heard that?
Yeah, not only England. But there's no way they can stop illegal immigrants.
Between January and September this year, around 3,000 migrants tried, like Tippy, to scale the border fence, almost double the number that attempted it in the same period last year. Others have tried to come hidden in the boots of cars or on boats that have arrived in Melilla's harbour. The migration story has brought Melilla unwelcome international notoriety. But there's no guarantee Tippi will be able to stay. Around 30 illegal migrants are deported every week.
On the edge of Melilla, within view of the border that separates this city from Morocco, is the centre of temporary accommodation for immigrants who arrive here. And we've got an appointment to meet Maria Dolores Morales. She's the legal advisor here at the centre, and she's going to show us around.
This is where migrants stay if they get into Melilla, and it's where Tippi's been living since he arrived in July.
Hoy tenemos 806 personas.
Today we have 806 persons here.
And what is your capacity?
480.
480. So yes. You have almost double the number of people that you should have. That must be very difficult to manage, yeah?
Too difficult.
So just walking down, it's like a main street here. So you've got the school at one end, you've got the gate at the other, and in between there's rows of single-storey rooms. There's washing everywhere, drying in the brilliant sunshine.
There are zones that they can dry the clothes, and they sit around this zone to observe that nobody steals the clothes.
So that's why there's a lot of people sitting around here. They're literally watching their clothes dry. That's sad, huh?
Sí.
Very sad.
Es triste, sí.
There's a Syrian family here who arrived. Hermanos? Okay, so these are three brothers. It's the wife of one of these boys, two older women as well, with two babies. And how did they come? Can we just try and find out how they came here?
They came a month ago, driving all the way. Syrians show up here almost daily now. The Arab Spring has increased pressure on Melilla. Nearly half of all those arriving come from the Middle East, and if they have cash, they may buy false Moroccan passports from people smugglers, because Moroccans registered in Nador have the right to travel in and out of Melilla. It's much easier for someone from the Middle East to pretend to be Moroccan than it is for someone from sub-Saharan Africa. And in any case, the sub-Saharans are usually the poorest, people who could never afford the hundreds of euros it costs to buy a passport. I crossed the border into Morocco to find out more about these migrants.
We're in the foothills now of Mount Gourougou. It's the mountain that you can see from Melilla across the fence. And this is where a lot of the migrants, especially the young men, they camp waiting for an opportunity to cross over the huge fence that separates Morocco from Melilla. There are all kinds of estimates of the number of young men who are camped out around this mountain. We just met somebody from a humanitarian organisation in Nador, the Moroccan town closest to here, who told us they thought was about 600 people currently camped around on this mountain. We're being taken now by two young migrant men.
You want this?
Yeah, here's fine.
We're joined by a few others and stop on the stony path, perching on rocks among the scrub and giant cacti. Timo, not his real name, is from Cameroon. He's an exhausted-looking rake of a man with bloodshot eyes. I ask him how long he's been living on the mountain of Gourougou.
1 year, 7 months.
You've been living here 1 year, 7 months? Have you tried to go across the fence?
Many times, more than 6 times.
And what happened?
You see, when I go there, police people, when they catch us, starting beating us, break our legs, our hands. I broke my leg, my right foot.
Your right foot?
Yes.
And who did that, the Moroccan side or the Spanish side?
Moroccan side. They hit me with a stick.
And that's when it broke?
When I fell down to the wire, they came and beat me.
Okay, so you got some pretty bad scars there. And when was the last time you tried to go?
3 days to this.
3 days ago?
Yes.
Yeah, and what happened then?
helicopter see us. So why we return back.
How many people were you then?
150.
150? What is life like here on the mountain? It's a different world, no?
There are animals we live here. The snakes, many things, scorpion, many things.
When did you leave home?
2011, 2 years outside.
2 years?
Yes.
But you still think you're going to get across the fence to Melilla?
I crossed the fence, they threw me out, Guardia Civil.
How old are you?
21 years.
Only 21 years? You're so young, huh? And you're looking to me much older than 21, huh? Where I come from in London, in the UK, there's a lot of people, and across Europe, there's a lot of people who want to stop people like you coming to Europe. Can you understand them?
Why they do that?
Because they're worried about jobs, and they're worried about the economic crisis, and they're worried about resources.
We are not going to Europe to collect all the money of Europe. Yeah. We are going to Europe to go and collect a little money to help the family.
So when is the next time that you try to go to Melilla?
I don't know. We send people there to go and control the fence.
So you have people there who are watching the fence and
yes.
seeing when the military are there and the police and
yes.
the Guardia Civil. So you're very organised here.
Yes, like armed robbers.
Like robbers, like armed robbers.
Oh, yes.
We start the climb down and I chat to Adil, a local humanitarian worker who's brought us to meet the migrants.
All of them, they smile, but in deep they have a big sad. And
big sadness inside.
Yeah.
And they just watch and they look across at Melilla from here.
And they call Melilla Babylon. They call it Babylon.
Back in Melilla, 600 officers from Spain's Guardia Civil worked to prevent these young men reaching Babylon. I'm with Sub-Lieutenant Juan Antonio Martín Rivera from the Guardia Civil, and we're heading out to the border. At the moment, we're passing through what is a quite lovely area of forested pine.
Es el Monte Gurugú, donde pueden estar...
He points to the mountain of Gurugú in Morocco and says migrants like the ones I met from Cameroon come down every day to try to get across the fence. OK, so we've just arrived. There's three of Guardia Civil here, and this is one of their stations, the side of the fence. Let's go and see what's been happening. Muy buenos días.
Este es un punto especialmente sensible.
This is a very sensitive point, and that's why we have here an agent from the reactive team.
Yeah, and has anything happened here with the fence in the last 24 hours?
We saw movement 1 kilometer far away from the border, but they don't attempt to get to Melilla.
And what is it like when you see those hundreds of people coming? You are on this side of the fence.
We are not afraid. We are afraid from that they perhaps threw stones, but we are not afraid from the attempt.
Have you been here when there's been a big assault?
I work here at this point for 15 years. I don't know if there are instructions from the smugglers, but they are more aggressive as 15 years before.
The mass invasions have injured officers from the Guardia Civil. The grainy video images of hundreds of young men surging up and over the reinforced steel are shocking. But in Morocco and Melilla, I've also heard allegations that the Guardia Civil have used violence against the migrants. I asked Sub-Lieutenant Martín Rivera about those stories.
No, no.
It's not true that we use violence. We work respecting Spanish law. The immigrants are not delinquents, but we are fighting against the smugglers, against the organizations that inform the immigrants to come to Melilla with violence. They are very aggressive.
I met a young man yesterday in Gurugú, and he said that he'd come over the fence, he reached Spanish territory, but the Guardia Civil sent him back into Morocco.
Eso es un tema recurrente.
That's something that they say a lot, informed by the smugglers. It's not true that immigrant that reach Melilla is returned to Morocco.
Melilla is one of the most unusual places I've visited, a town completely dominated by its geography. While its economy is melded with its neighbours in Morocco, it's been forced to become Fortress Europe on the tip of Africa. People told me how 20 years ago you could walk freely from Melilla into Morocco, just stroll across. There were no 6-metre-high razor wire fences under constant watch, the challenge for men like Tippy. I asked this young Sierra Leonean what his parents think about him making it to Melilla.
They are very happy because I'm the first child to God to give this kind of opportunity to be in Europe.
So they're proud of you, are they?
Yeah, and they are very proud because it's not easy to travel from Sierra Leone to Spain by road. They're very happy for me. They give me all their blessings. Today I'm here in Europe.
That's all from this edition of Assignment and me, Linda Presley. To hear more in the series, go to bbcworldservice.com/assignment.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. For details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.